Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. Well, we're ready. We're ready, aren't we? I know you're ready because I have seen your Christmas decorations. I've gotten some of your Christmas cards. I've seen how many people went all out for their outdoor Christmas lights this year. We're ready. We are ready for Christmas. We're ready for Christmas joy and Christmas peace and Christmas hope and Christmas love. We are ready for all of the good feelings that come with this season. And I'm here to tell you that even this year, even in 2020 with all that it's brought with us, because of Christmas, we can dare to laugh. Feels awkward, doesn't it? Maybe even a little inappropriate when you find yourself laughing when there's a lot of unfunny things happening around you. The pandemic's not funny. The economic concern, not funny. The risk to our essential workers, it's not funny. The impact on our kids' education, the loneliness, the burnout, and anything else that you can tack onto that list, it's not funny. But cat videos and dog memes and dad jokes, still funny. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you how many Netflix comedy specials I watched this year, but I'm only almost embarrassed. Because those things made me laugh. Those comedies brought me joy in a year with a lot of unfunny moments. You know, being a new mom those first few days and weeks in a pandemic were not funny. But watching Ali Wong's comedy special about being a new mom, very funny. Laughter is key to our health and our healing. Laughter is social. It's contagious. It is necessary for making and maintaining connection. We all could use a little more laughter this year. And this year, because of Christmas, we can dare to laugh, not because we haven't struggled or because we haven't suffered, but we can dare to laugh because we're not alone in our suffering. And that's what our story today helps us remember, that we're not alone in our suffering. In Luke's gospel, we hear about two babies that are born that bring joy and good news to the world. And we've been talking about baby Jesus, of course, but there's another baby that Luke's gospel tells us about, and that's what we're going to be hearing about today. In today's story, we'll hear about a man named Zechariah, who was a priest, and his wife Elizabeth, who he's told is going to have a child. The same angel Gabriel shows up to Zechariah, and this is what happens. When Zechariah saw him, saw the angel, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." As the news sunk in that Zechariah was going to be a new dad, his joy looked a little bit more like cautious, practical curiosity than it did overwhelming joy. He had some questions for this angel, this messenger from God. He wanted to know things like how and when and are you sure? Because his wife, Elizabeth, she was older and she thought she would never have a child. The text calls her barren. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, you know, they had struggled for a long time to come to terms with that reality that they might not ever have a child. And so Zechariah, he's a lot more cautious with this little glimmer of hope. And can you blame him? But like so many others, so many of our loved ones who have walked through infertility, Elizabeth and Zechariah are not alone. Their story sounds like others we hear in Scripture. Their story sounds like Hannah, who prayed and prayed for a child, or Abraham and Sarah, who found out they were having a child very late in life, too. If you or someone you love has experienced this particular kind of waiting for a prayer to be answered, we want you to hear that you're not alone either. You're not alone in your waiting or your doubt or your grief. Zechariah and Elizabeth were not alone, and you are not alone. The story goes on to tell us that Zechariah, because of his questions, he loses the ability to speak. God takes away his voice until his son is born. Maybe to teach him something about faith, or maybe to teach him that we hear from God a lot better when we're not so busy talking. The story moves quickly from there, and Elizabeth, she does have her son, and everybody wants to know, what is this baby's name? And Zechariah, who still can't speak, he writes on a tablet, his name is John. And in that moment, because that moment was one of obedience to God, because that's what Gabriel had said to name the son, Zechariah gets his voice back. His name will be John. And when Zechariah gets his voice back, he is overwhelmed with joy, and he praises God, and he prophesies over his new baby boy. Something happens when Zechariah gets his voice back. Because you see, at first, Zechariah struggled to believe God still had good things for his future because of the struggles of his past. Like so many of us, Zechariah struggled to believe that there were good things in his future because there were painful things in his past. But Zechariah chose to believe in God's promise of joy. Zechariah knew enough about who God had been in the past that he chose to believe the good promises that God had for his future. He didn't have 100% certainty. He didn't really know what the future would hold, but he knew enough about who God had been that he chose to trust God's good promises for the future. And he's overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and he shares this prophecy over his son, John. And this is what he says. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. John would go on to be the fulfillment of that prophecy from the prophet Elijah, of that voice calling in the wilderness. Elijah is that voice that comes out of the wilderness and meets us in our wilderness. In moments of confusion or loneliness or doubt or darkness, it's that voice that calls us out and calls us back to God. John would go on to preach the gospel that Jesus brings, one of forgiveness and redemption for the lost. I think what Zechariah's story has to teach us is in that moment where he got his voice back. The story that Zechariah had to tell when he got his voice back was one of God's faithfulness in the past and God's provision and promise for the future. Remembering that God had been faithful to Abraham and Sarah and faithful to the covenant and freed Israel from slavery in Egypt, remembering those things gave Zechariah the strength and the ability to believe the good news for his future. We see this kind of testimony throughout Scripture. The groups of people or individuals who experience hardship, when they tell that story later, when it gets passed on through the oral tradition, they remember the big moves of God's faithfulness. They remember and recall the bigger story. What they don't do is share a list of every single loss. They bring us back to the bigger story, the bigger story that reminds us of God's promises that have been true, are true, and continue to be true. We could keep a running list of everything that we've lost this year, or we could choose joy. We too could choose to believe in that bigger, better story of God's faithfulness. I'll just speak for myself. I know I need to choose joy. I know that I need to choose laughter and good news and small wins. I know that I'm a better wife and mom and friend and pastor when I don't keep score with God. I tried that for a while. Honestly, I had a list of everything I was losing this year, everything I lost. And it just pushed me away from God and it pushed me away from other people. It didn't serve me. I know that I am better served choosing joy. I know that I'm better served choosing to add to the list of things that bring me joy. Watching my husband play with our daughter brings me joy. Sending silly videos back and forth with my friends who live across the country makes me laugh and reminds me that I'm not alone. Hanging out with some of your kids on Zoom is some of the best time I have all week. Remembering that there is more good news than bad news gives me strength. My invitation for you is to find out what kind of list you're keeping and ask yourself, is the list I'm keeping going to bring me joy? You know, I found out I was keeping the wrong kind of list, and it was not bringing me closer to joy, and it was not bringing me closer to God. But the good news is you can change what kind of list you're making even this week. It's never too late to choose joy. And because of Christmas, we can dare to laugh. We can dare to experience joy even right now when so many things feel like they're not funny. Because of Christmas, we can dare to laugh because God's joy is already here.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.